Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson. Verse 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 17. The Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. This is the text. And the setting is there at the end of the book of Joshua, after many things have taken place, and Joshua gathers the Israelites there at Shechem and calls them to, now choose this day who you will follow. Implied in all of that is that it is possible to follow someone else. Actually, there are many other things that vie for our attention, that call us and want us to have our loyalties to those things. And it is an amazing list that we have in our lives of other things that can distract and other things that can trouble and other things that can call us away from God, isn't it? Now, in Joshua's day, what he was talking about was choose. Will it be the gods that before God called Abraham beyond the Euphrates River called him to come and follow God? Will it be those gods you follow? Will it be the gods of the land where you are dwelling? Little piece of trivia here. It was in the understanding of the people of that day that there were local gods who sort of had their power in a certain region. And when you went into an area, you had to figure out who the gods of that region were so you could get in good with those gods and allow things good to happen to your life. And if you moved to another area, then you had to figure out who the gods of that area were. And when the people of Israel were taken into captivity, off in Babylon, there's Ezekiel off in Babylon, and he sees the vision of the Lord with the chariot of the Lord ruling. And it's amazing because the understanding is given at that point. God is the God who rules over the whole earth. Wherever you go in the world, there God is in control. So a revelation to his people there. So, who will you serve? In our day, what is it? Who will you serve? Who will you chase after? What will you call to be the focus of your life? Will it be wealth? Health and prosperity? Will it be the various pleasures of this world? Will it be social media? There's one. But think about it. It's not so different then and now, because if you went back and you asked, well, what were the gods that he was talking about back then? Well, it would be the god of prosperity, the god of rain, the god of the house, the god of the forge, the god of the god of the fertility of the crops, the god of wealth. Do you want to chase after those things? Or do you want to follow the one God who is over all, who created all things? Same things that they could chase after are the same things that we could chase after. And there's a lot of rivals for our attention. And as Joshua stands there with the people of Israel, what it is God calling his people to remember. Remember who you are. Remember what you are and what you are created for. Remember who God is and what he is to you. And the people indeed do remember, because their response, the Lord our God who brought us up and our fathers up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery, that is right in the Ten Commandments, the introduction to the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. They are remembering 40 years ago, standing there at Mount Sinai. So, but it's been a long 40 years, hasn't it? How are we supposed to remember it just like it was yesterday? And in fact, every single one of the people standing there except for Joshua and Caleb were not there at Mount Sinai. That whole generation passed, and now it's the next generation, and Joshua is calling the next generation to remember. How is that possible? Well, it's the same thing, the same pattern, isn't it? The people in John chapter 6, the next day after the feeding of the 5,000, they go and they ask Jesus, "What sign will you give us to show that we should believe in you? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. What will you do? Yesterday, give you bread in the wilderness. Do you remember that? Oh, but it's another day and we're hungry again." We forget. We forget so easily. For the people of Joshua's day, it was a generation ago. For the people of Jesus' day, it was the evening ago. For us, it's been an awful long time since the days of the New Testament, hasn't it? Do we still remember? Do we still say, "This is our God"? Or is it just some old story that our parents and grandparents heard about and they passed on to us? But down through the generations, there is a truth that we have proclaimed. We share it with the apostles. We share it with the time of Martin Luther. We keep on saying it in front of the world. You have told me this truth time and time again. You have told it to me, and you're going to tell it to me again. You ready? Christ is risen. Hallelujah. There you go. The one truth that lasts through all eternity is that Jesus Christ conquered sin and death, is that he died and rose for us. He is the same one as he always has been. So, let me fill in a little bit of the gap, because our Old Testament lesson begins before and then skips over most of what God says in the middle. So here are some things from the verses between. Verse 3. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. Verse 5, I sent Moses and Aaron, and afterward I brought you out. Verses 7 and 8, and you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. And verse 13, I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwelt in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. So here's the pattern. It's the same as what God said in Exodus 20 when he was giving the Ten Commandments. I'm the Lord your God. This is what I did for you. God always insists on telling about his grace and what he has done for us. And you heard last week, if you're coming to church because you're saying, I'm going to serve God, you're missing the first part. I come to church because God insists on serving me. Serving me by taking my sin and forgiving it. Serving me by sending his son Jesus Christ to be born for me, to live for me, to die for me, to rise for me. God insists on serving. He insists on serving by hearing my prayers, telling me of his love, and then he calls me to the table, and he feeds me with amazing food, the body and blood of Jesus. And Jesus called the people of his day, said, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you do not have life in you. And the first meaning of that happens to be the cross. Because, as Lutherans have said, it is a spiritual eating and drinking. The beginning is when you see Jesus dying and rising for you, when you see Jesus shedding his blood for you, and in your soul you know, my sins are forgiven. He did that for me. He made himself mine. That is him giving himself body and blood to you with all that he has done. And then if that's not enough, then Jesus sets the supper before you and says, now let's go literal. Here's my body, here's my blood, eat and drink and know that you are forgiven. And then joined with Christ who has eternity in him, we eat and we drink eternity. So who will you serve? Those gods of Babylon, made up gods, imaginary gods of sun and rain and crops and prophets, who, even if they were real, they would not be God. They would just be forces of nature or good fortune. Is that what you're going to chase after, things that come and go? Or do you want eternity in you? To have eternity in you by having the Son of God give himself to you and with his words to place himself in your soul, with his water to pour his name on you and sign his work, with his supper to put his body and his blood on your tongue, in your mouth, in your body, the eternal body and blood of Jesus, and to eat and drink eternity. Which will you have? Things that pass? Will you chase after the wealth of this world and fame and good health? No, those things are fleeting. You know what's even more fleeting? Social media. Thank you. Social media. That stuff will turn on you. Do you want that? Or do you want eternity? And it is God who has called. See, in Joshua chapter 24, God who has called from the days of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel in Egypt, Moses leading them out and through the wilderness and to the promised land, and it is the same God who calls all the way through. For our day, God who has called from the days of Abraham and Moses and David and then John the Baptist and Jesus and all that Jesus has done for you and the apostles sent out to speak words of eternity to the whole world and on to our day. That is the God who calls. So Peter, standing at the end of the whole story of the feeding of the 5,000, says this to Jesus, and we sang it, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's a two-parter in that. Part one, his words give eternal life because his words give forgiveness, they give salvation, they give eternity. That's only part one. Part two might be better. Part two. In his words, there is eternity. Because the very words of Jesus hold eternity in them. And when he speaks those words into your soul, he is speaking eternity into you. And when the eternal words of God bind themselves to your soul by calling you to faith, when those eternal words of God hold on to you, what can take you away from God? What can separate you from life? Those are eternal words. And as they draw us into God's eternity, everything opens up. All the gifts of God, all the blessings of God, but all of that through the relationship we have with him by his words given to us. That's one of the things that makes Christianity so absolutely amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.